Turn with me to where? James chapter 4 is where we're at, and we're going to continue our series in the book of James, and we're studying this book, and over the last several months, weeks and months, God's just been teaching us some incredible things. And so when we come to this morning, James chapter 4, this message I want to talk about is about God's favor. And I just, honestly, as I just dwelt on this, it didn't feel justice to just speak one Sunday on this. So over the next two Sundays, today and next Sunday, we'll really be breaking down. So this is just part one of a two-part message. And this is just a word that I really feel divinely for Calvary Church. God wants to pour his favor on this church and in this region in a measure that we've been praying for, but God wants to make it tangible. And it just, sometimes you can walk through seasons of life, you can walk through seasons as a church, and some points, the desire, and then sometimes what you feel is reality, feels so far apart. And God is wanting you to know, he is wanting to pour his favor on this church, in your life, in your business, in your marriage, in greater depths, greater degrees that you'd ever asked, thought, or imagine. So as we've been traveling in James, when we came to James chapter 3, that chapter, and remember the breakdowns, sometimes when we're reading scripture, we see the chapter breakdowns, and we need to be reminded, this is a letter. And sometimes the chapter breakdowns make us almost turn the page like turning a chapter. But yet this is actually written in originally. It didn't have the chapter breakdowns originally. That came centuries later. But what's amazing is this letter, chapter 3 to chapter 4, should just be, let's put it all in sequence together. And when we were in chapter 3, remember James was talking about godly wisdom and comparing it to worldly wisdom. And he was saying in chapter 3 that when a person has godly wisdom, their life will be characterized by peace. It'll be characterized with God's character at work flowing in and out of our life, and there will be a blessing upon our life. On the other hand, a person who functions according to worldly wisdom, what happens is there's all kinds of strife, all kinds of discord, all kinds of conflict. And really, you could summarize that when a person buys into worldly wisdom, they've bought into the world's ways of thinking. And the person has become, if you will, a friend of the world, which James chapter 4, and we spoke about last week, is that when we have friendship with the world, we are at enmity with God. And it's just not that God sits on the sideline, but we end up, by our own actions, when we become a friend of the world, we become at opposite with God. And there's going to be conflict. There's going to be conflict in their life. There's going to be conflict with other people. There's going to be conflict in your own heart, in their own life. There's going to be a conflict with God. They're going to find themselves fighting with God. They're going to find themselves frustrating the work of the Spirit in their life. And they're going to find themselves forfeiting the favor in their life. And that's where we come today, is James chapter 4, verse 6. Look at it. But he gives more grace. Therefore, says, God opposes the proud and gives grace to the humble. And this is James starting to transition, saying the warning of being a friend with the world. In other words, your affections are more about the world than they are about affectionately knowing and following our God and listening to his voice. And James wants you to know, he goes, but when you're a friend of God's, he gives more grace. And he gives a grace to the humble. See, he opposes the person who's self-reliant. He opposes the person who says, no, thank you, I can do it on my own. The person that thinks they can figure it out on their own. He opposes that person that, God, I don't need your help. I don't need you to live. I can do it all by myself. I can do what I want, when I want. When a person does that, they've set themselves against God. And God is not only passively not sitting on the sideline, but God is actively opposing the person. And the tragedy is that is not the heart of God. God does not want to be on the opposite side opposing you. He wants to bless. That is his heart. That is his character. That is his nature, as much as he is holy. And that's the part of why he opposes. But to the humble, he will do amazing work. But God opposes the proud, but he gives grace to the humble. See, when we talk about grace throughout Scripture, and immediately we all understand, when we start talking about grace, we go to the ultimate example of it. The greatest demonstration of God's grace was the gift of his Son, Jesus Christ, to die for our sins. It's what we just sung about on that last song. It's what we celebrated. And it is what we celebrate. But there's also additional dimensions, depth to this. Not only do we see that ultimate reflection of God's grace, but when we've given our heart, humbled ourselves to allow Jesus to be the leader and savior of our life, this idea of grace, to realize how much God has just loves us and what he has done by giving us the greatest gift in his Son. Jesus, I mean, here's the thing. God just doesn't want to stop there. He wants that grace to, in flowing with that, he wants us to realize in grace, that word grace in Scripture interchangeably is also used with the word favor. And what God wants you to know is, I just not only want to save your sins and that you start to have a relationship, I want to do more. I want to have my favor on your life. So the things that you pray for, the things that you have to walk through in life, I want to bless you. I want to walk through that with you, and I want your favor on you. And here's an example. James chapter 4, verse 6 is actually a quotation of Proverbs chapter 3, verse 34. Look at it. The Lord mocks the mockers, but is gracious to the humble. What I want you to notice here as we're looking at this quotation and we're looking at James chapter 4, verse 6, is I want you to know that there's a sowing and reaping in the life of every believer. The things that you do and the things that I do have a direct bearing on what we experience in terms of God's working in our life. If a person is scornful, guess what the person's going to get in their life? If the person is humble and inviting God to bring his work in our life, guess what we're going to get? So the humble person to the person who says, God, I want you working in my life. I want to be totally dependent on you. I want to follow you. I'm going to seek you. What happens is God gives us his favor. So there's, when we look up the word favor, there's a couple different definitions that come to us. I want you to look at it. Dictionary would give you these definitions. One is favor would be defined as something done or granted out of goodwill rather than from justice or remuneration. In other words, God shows his favor, and it's just not, and I want you to understand, it's not that he's paying you back. He's not doing that. But it is giving you the desires of your heart, the actions of your life. You've set yourself in a place where God is working in your life. And so not as a payback, but you've opened up yourself as this, as a channel. It's a pipeline for God's favor, for his grace to flow in your life. But I especially like the second definition of the word favor, excessive kindness or preferential treatment. God wants to bring an excessive kindness to your life. That's what his favor is when it's upon you and in your life. He wants there to be such a special favor, a kindness. He wants to favor you preferentially. Some points that could tick us off because that becomes family arguments, right? When one parent kind of favors the other, you've not been on the other end of that? Okay. Sometimes it actually worked to my favor. Stacy and I both are babies in our family. So sometimes that kind of, you get that little, oh, the baby. Larry, are you the baby in your family? Oh, yes, you are. And the only boy. Oh, see, yep, and the only boy. And here's the great thing. That's why I'm so glad you did that, Rose, so I could pick on Larry. Here's the fun part. God wants to do that in our life. He wants to show you an excessive kindness, a preferential treatment. But what this world loves to do, this world loves to tell you you're not worthy of it, that you don't deserve it, and that is all the work of this world and the enemy. God wants you to clearly understand, and this is what I love about the book of James, is he wants us to be pointed in having a growing faith, not a dead faith, a faith that's connected to a loving God who wants to do a living work in and through our life. Not a dead religion, not a set of rules that we feel like we have to just follow, but we follow a living God who, when we obey him, when we hear his commands, we just begin to follow and we just watch a channel opened up of his goodness, of his grace. It's incredible. So the Bible speaks a great deal about favor, and I want to show you a few of these because when we start to get into God's word, favor is all over the place. And I really had a hard time narrowing down some scriptures to do this, but I'm going to go with one because it was almost a year ago when Pastor Stacy and I first moved here, 1st of October. Our first series that we spoke on with you over the October and November last year was all about Numbers chapter 6, verse 24 through 26, Aaron's priestly blessing. We pray for you. This becomes a form of how we pray for Calvary, how we pray for you, how we pray and conclude every Sunday service with this blessing. But when we unpack it, we begin to see, may the Lord bless you and protect you. May the Lord smile on you and be gracious to you. May the Lord show you his favor and give you his peace. See, this is all dripping with what God wants to do in your life, and favor is a large part of it. God wants to know and show you his favor. He wants to bless you. He wants to protect you. He wants to smile on you with an excessive kindness. Just like being that only boy, the young kid in your family, he wants to do that, his goodness in your life, because he loves us so deeply. Look at Psalm 67, verses 1 through 2. May God be merciful and bless us. May his face smile with favor on us. Interlude, as it says in Scripture. Some of your translations might say the word selah, the Hebrew word, which really means... What that means, and you see the word interlude here in the NLT, is really meaning take a time out and pause. And it also, there's another meaning in Hebrew that it talks about where it's raise your voices in praise. So this is a moment. May God be merciful and bless you. May his face smile with favor on us. And the psalmist is so overcome, it's like time out, pause. Let's raise our voices in praise. Let's worship our God. Yeah, or sometimes in the Hebrew, the word would also make your instruments louder. Have you noticed that in our praise? When God starts and we can feel that anointing, the instruments start to play a little louder. That's what the psalmist is wanting us to catch, is the flavor here. May your ways be known throughout the earth, your saving power among your people everywhere. It's beautiful. Look at Psalms 90, verses 16 through 17. Let us, your servants, see your work again. Let our children see your glory. Is that not a prayer that we should be praying? Man, we prayed for a lot of our prodigals Friday night and our families, and this just continues to flow. Lord, let your servants see your work again. God, on earth, may we see your power, your presence at work in our services, in our lives. Let our children see your glory. May the Lord our God show us his approval, make our efforts successful. Yes, make our efforts successful. See, this psalm is written by Moses. Moses' words come back in play here in the psalm. And it's saying, look at, and I want you to capture this. Let your work be shown in your servants, your glorious power to your children. He's praying, God, I just want your working power. We just want to see your glory. May your power and your, may it be evidenced in your people, your children. Let the favor of God be upon us. What he's saying is that, God, let your preferential treatment be at work in our life. It makes your power, your favor makes our life stable. It makes that way successful. It gives us stability and strength and an enduring nature to it. That's all the grace of God. That's what he wants to do in our life. Proverbs 22, verse 1, choose a good reputation over great riches, being held in high esteem, is better than silver or gold. In other words, there is nothing better than having the blessing of God the excessive kindness of God, the preferential treatment of God, there is nothing better than to have that on our life than anything else this world can offer. So with that, I want to lead you into Exodus chapter 33, if you'll turn there with me, because we'll go back to James towards the end, because this is a two-part message, but I really want you to see this in the life of Moses, that you see an example of how God just poured his favor on a person's life. So as we look at this, Moses is preparing to lead the nation of Israel into the promised land, and they're going out in the desert, and he's meeting with God. What he doesn't realize, this is going to be a 40-year journey. So when we take steps of faith, sometimes we're not going to know. When we're listening obediently to God, and he starts, and we step out in obedience, we're stepping out. Moses is leading the nation into the desert. They're not thinking this is going to take 40 years to see the promised land. But he has humbled himself to be on a journey. And it's a great reminder for us that as we go on this journey, that the Lord knows where he knows where we're at, and he's going to lead us the whole way. He knows all the details of our life, and he will help us navigate it through if we stay close to him. And Moses' life, I want you to notice that, and that's what enabled Moses to effectively lead the nation on a 40-year journey where people, I mean, you can read it at points, and it's normal. People would get disgruntled, a little ticked off at Moses, questioning his leadership, questioning his sincerity with God, all of it. But I want you to notice what Moses did and how he saw the value of God's favor on your life. And that's what I want you to be able to see is the value of favor. And so there's going to be six things I want you to notice, but look at verse 11. Inside the tent of meeting, Lord would speak to Moses face to face as one speaks to a friend. Afterward, Moses would return to the camp, but the young man who assisted him, Joshua son of Nun, would remain behind him in the tent of meeting, face to face as a man talks to a friend. Now think about that. If you're talking to God face to face, face to face, as we start to think what that could even be like, what that would feel like, what that experience was, but any of us here in this room today, if you've walked with God at any length of time, there's always more that we can experience about God. And Moses even realized that. God, I'm speaking to you face to face, but I want even more. There's even more I need to know about you, more about your presence. And you can get that sense in this relationship with Moses that there's more grace, there's more of his blessing, there's more of his favor. He's just saw one part of God. And that there's more to know. So when we come to Exodus chapter 33, verses 12 through 17, this is a request on Moses' part for favor. And I want you to notice that by five times in these verses, the word favor is going to be listed here. And we're going to learn some things about what favor does and why it is so valuable in our lives. So I want to point them quickly to you, six things about favor. First, God's favor brings a relationship with God. Look at verse 12. One day Moses said to the Lord, you've been telling me, take these people to the promised land, but you haven't told me whom you shall send with me. You have told me, I know you by name, and I look favorable on you. So without fail, you can see those different highlighted parts, a relationship. God's favor, when he has his hand on your life, you will have a relationship that you can see where God is telling you. You can inquire back, but God, I have not seen. You haven't told me about this. What do I do in this situation? What do I need to do? God will begin to pour back. See, when you have the favor of God on your life, what we're talking about is a relationship where God is omniscient. He knows everyone. He knows it all. He knows all the details about everybody's life instantly and effortlessly. But there is, when favor of God is upon you, an interest of God is interested in your life. And he's interested in the details and the working of those details in your life. And that's what we're talking about this morning. We're talking about a relationship with God. And here's the bottom line you can take away from this part, is that God is active in your life. He'll be active in your life, not just when you're in the four walls of this building, but he's going to be active in your life when you go home, when you get on the job tomorrow, guess what? God hasn't forgot about today. So on Tuesday, not tomorrow, tomorrow's Labor Day, unless you might have to work, but what's great is the next time you go to work, guess what? God is active in your life. There's a second thing I want you to realize, an importance of favor. It gives us insight into God's working in our life. Look at verse 13. If it is true that you looked favorably on me, let me know your ways, so I may understand you more fully and continue to enjoy your favor, and remember that this nation is your very own people. See, Moses is asking the Lord, please show me your ways. Show me, God, your way of leading, your way of how you're going to guide. See, there's a God who sees the beginning and the end simultaneously, and he knows exactly everything that's going on in between. And God is interested in your future. And that's the part, even as we've been going through James, when we've been praying for godly wisdom, God is wanting to show his excessive kindness. He just doesn't want you to turn your back on him, become a friend of the world, because when you turn your back on him, you turn your back on God showing you his ways. And we miss and forfeit what God wants to do. There's a third thing that we can learn. God's favor provides us knowledge of God himself. Looking back in verse 13, I may understand you more fully and continue to enjoy your favor. In other words, and this is interesting to me, here's Moses. He talks to God face to face as a man talks with a friend. So it's not, this isn't, there's a reverence, but there's a familiarity to it, a depth to it. So think about if you saw one of your long-lost school friends and you've been able to reconnect and you just sit down and talk. This is one of those moments that we're starting to see come to play here is God, Moses has this incredible intimate relationship with God. So he already knows aspects about God. He's talked with God. But here's Moses and he says, there's more that I need to know. May I understand you more fully and continue to enjoy your favor. In other words, Moses realized, I want more than just this moment. I don't want this moment to go by and just be left. I need every day, I need you to help me to fully know and understand you. There's so much more God wants to reveal to us if we will only put ourselves into a humble position to receive it and to know it. See, this is what's so beautiful. We learn more about him. We learn more about his ways. We learn more about how he works in our lives. And there's a kindness that God first reveals himself to us. Fourth, God's favor gives us an understanding of God's presence with us and upon us. Look at verse 14. And honestly, I can't think of anything else outside of salvation that you would want than to be able to have an understanding of God's presence with us and upon us. I mean, it's what I would want for my kids. It's what I'd want for my family. And this is the cry of Moses' heart. Look at verse 14. The Lord replied, I will personally go with you. Moses, I will give you rest. Everything will be fine for you. See, there's a nervousness you can tell that Moses must have been able to have communicated. God, I need to understand you more. Maybe you've walked in here and you're dreading going towards this week. Maybe you've got some details in your life that you're just not looking forward to facing come Tuesday. Here's God. Moses is feeling the same thing. He's got this journey that he has no clue is going to be a 40-year adventure in the desert. And yet, his heart is, God, I need to understand your ways. And God is letting Moses know, I'm going to personally go with you. See, God's favor, his hand on your life, over your life, will give us a peace of mind to face any situation we may face. We may know that God will make everything fine and will be fine for you. What a wonderful God we have. Because God is on your side, his presence is with us, he's upon us. Fifth, God's favor offers us answered prayer. Look at verses 15 through 17. Then Moses said, if you don't personally go with us, don't make us leave this place. That's a good statement. God, let me not step out of here if you're not going to go with us. It's so smart, because you don't want to take a step of life and leave God behind and be out of step with him. How will anyone know that you look favorably on me and on your people, if you don't go with us? For your presence among us sets your people and sets me apart from all other people on the earth. The Lord replied to Moses. He says, I will indeed do what you've asked, for I look favorably on you and I know you by name. I want you to personalize that today. That in the same way God was speaking to Moses, because of what Jesus did on the cross for us, not only dying but raising again and ascending to heaven, sitting at the right hand of God the Father as our advocate, because of what Jesus did for us, that relationship that we have a God who looks favorably on you. See, God doesn't look at us and see our sin as a follower of Christ. He looks at us and he sees Jesus. Because we don't stand before God in our own righteousness. We stand in faith in Jesus' righteousness. And he knows us. He looks favorably on you. And he knows you by name. You are not nameless to God. Somebody needed to hear that today. Because I can feel God knows you by name. And he knows your situation and every detail. Verse 15, Moses said to me, if your presence will not go with me, do not bring us from here. In other words, God, if you're going to put me in this situation, if I'm going to be going through what I'm going to have to go through this week, God, I need you. I need your favor. I need it to be on my life. So one of the great confidences we can walk out of here is that we have a God who hears and a God who answers. 6, God's favor gives us a revelation of God that others don't see. Look at it in verse 18. Moses responded, then show me your glorious presence. See, I find this so interesting because, again, this is a man who sees God face to face, but he's still willing to say, God, show me your glorious presence. Like, you haven't seen it already, Moses? See, Moses is even inviting God even deeper to say, God, I want more. There is more that you will show me. And Scripture goes on to talk about what God does in this moment, because between here and Exodus chapter 34, verse 29, God just begins to bring his power and his presence upon Moses, where eventually people will look at Moses and they look at him physically. He's glowing because of the countenance, the glory of God is so rich and so real upon Moses that people even have to, I mean, he's so bright. The brightness is so brilliant. See, the value of having the favor of God in your life, and there is nothing outside of salvation worth more to your family, to your children, to your situation than having the favor of God on your life. What's more pleasurable to your soul than to have God's favor on your life? See, and all that brings us right back to James chapter 4, verse 6. So this is where we jump back in. To close, humble ourselves to seek God, which leads us back to the book of James, chapter 4, verse 6, but he gives more grace. Therefore, it says, God opposes the proud, but he gives grace to the humble. God opposes the proud, but he gives grace to the humble. See, this is what James is talking about. He's talking to believers, and he's saying that there is more favor, there is more grace that God wants to give you. So how do I get it? Let me give you 2 starting spots, and we'll finish the rest next week. 6 principles to experiencing God's favor. Look at it. Verse 7. James chapter 4, verse 7. Submit yourselves, therefore, to God. Submit yourself to God. The word submit here in the Greek is a military term. It gives you, in fact, on a Labor Day weekend, with this relaxed, but if this was a Memorial Day weekend, this would really be in full motion, because on Memorial Day, you'd go out to the cemetery and you would see the different tributes to fallen soldiers. But this is a military word when it says submit. It's coming under the commander. It's like standing at attention. Like if I wanted to really tease my oldest son when he was in the army, I could give him really negative flashbacks to his time in the army. Because when the commander says, "Ten Hut, attention," you better snap to attention. And that is the call. That is the Hebrew word that's coming out here, or the Greek word, excuse me, submit yourselves, that we would report for duty. Yes, commander, I'm here. I'm reporting for duty. I'm reporting to follow you. See, if we will submit ourselves in that way, to say, God, I will confess with my mouth that you are my Lord and Savior. I'm submitting my life. You're my commander. You're my leader. In order to go through this life, to have your favor, Lord, I submit myself. Because here's the wonderful promise that when we call out to the Lord, he hears. Our God is sovereign. He's the leader of our life. But when we confess Jesus is Lord and believe in our heart that he's raised him from the dead, you will be saved. And all favor, all of the incredible promises of God will start to flow. We will have opened up a pipeline of God's blessing, his leading, his guiding upon our life. It all starts at this very moment. Here's the amazing part about being a believer of Christ. We constantly have to put ourselves back on the altar. We never leave, we never grow to a point that we never should take for granted the very fact that we're followers of him. That very moment, can you remember the very first time you gave your heart to Jesus? I pray you can. But the journey that God is faithful to have brought you here today to be reminding that even aspects that we keep growing and going glory to glory as God keeps revealing himself in our life is we never grow past that initial humbleness to submit ourselves. In order to grow in the Spirit, guess what? We need to humble ourselves more. We want more of the Spirit's power, more of that Spirit's work in our life. Guess what? We need to humble ourselves more. God, help me to learn and hear your ways. Speak to me, lead me, guide me. And that's where all of these parts begin to play in. And as a believer, if you've never been water baptized, one of the first acts of obedience to following Jesus in new life is to be water baptized. You need to step into that obedience. But when we do the things that God speaks to us to do, it's amazing what he does. Look at John chapter 14, verse 21. Those who accept my commandments and obey are the ones who love me. See, if we have the commands and obey them, that is evidence to God that you love him. When he sees you walking faithfully, when he sees that heart of obedience, even when we don't do it perfectly, because we immediately, again, it's a relationship. God, I need your strength. I am not. One of the great parts is that as we faithfully turn our hearts to him, God will come alongside. God turns his heart towards us, towards those everywhere who will call out to him. And that is the favor of God. The second principle of seeing God's favor on your life, finally, is this, and if the worship team would come, that would be great. James chapter, also staying in James chapter 4, verse 7, submit yourselves therefore to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. This is a good reminder for us. Because when you look at it again, therefore you submit to God. And I want you to see how this is played out in Scripture, all right? When you look at this, look at that verse real carefully, because you see God is capitalized. But look at the devil, little d, all right? When we humble and submit ourselves to God, the God, the mighty God. See, there's parts in world's philosophies that would say good and evil are equal. And you need to know there is no equal to God. To God, to his power, to his presence, to his glory, to his nature, to his character, there is no equal. That's why it's God, capital G. When we resist the devil, little d. Because guess what? God, the devil only gives devil only gets a foothold that we allow. When we give the devil a door and we open that door, that's on us. And this is what James is wanting to remind us, is that this devil is little d. And it's not a mistake in the language. He's wanting us to see the skies and the scope that our God is greater. There is no power equal. So the devil's work in your life, guess what, can be destroyed if we resist it. In fact, a good picture example that I think of this is the devil likes to come in and it's like a squatter. And if you've read any stories of people squatting in people's homes, that they go in, they try to change the locks, and so they find their way in, and then try to basically take over the property. That's the way the devil works. But you need to know God has a way of turning the scales and evict and changing the locks back. But the key part is we need to resist the devil, and what will happen is he will flee. Look at 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 8. Be sober-minded. Be watchful. Your adversary, the devil, prowls around you like a roaring lion seeking someone to devour. In other words, wake up. There's a battle. You have an adversary, but here's some great news. Guess what? He's seeking someone to devour. He can't devour everyone. Who he devours is the one who's opened the door. The devil has no authority to step in your life when we've submitted ourselves to the Lord. Look at Ephesians chapter 4. Verses 26 through 27. Be angry and do not sin. Not let the sun go down on your anger. Give no opportunity to the devil. In other words, don't let the devil come into your situation. In this case, Paul's talking about anger. But you know what? It could be about anything that we allow in our life. Whether it's anger that would dominate us, or what other thing that just happens to be a weakness for us. Just know that if we give no opportunity, if we don't tolerate it, we don't give it any credence, God comes into our situation and shuts that door. When we submit to him, resist the devil, God's favor cannot help but come upon your life. Submit yourselves to the Lord. Give no opportunity to the devil and watch God show you his favor. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your goodness this morning. Thank you for your love for us. It's more than what we can imagine. Wow. How much you really do love us. God, you are so good. It's your character because you do good. And God, I just am so thankful today that there is a favor from you that would never be good enough unless you sent your son to save us. But Lord, not only do we need you in our life, not only do we want you to save us, but God, we want you to work in our lives. We want you to do good to us and in us and through us. So Father, I pray today that we would have a hunger for you, to know you in a personal way like never before. May we have a hunger, God, for the workings of your Holy Spirit and to be opening to it. God, to be open to be used in the giftings of your Holy Spirit. God, we pray for a hunger to be in our life, a favor of you in our life, a blessing of you on our lives. Let it be on our homes, on our businesses, in our endeavors. God, in our hobbies, when we're at play, God, let it just be evident that your favor, your presence is flowing through every part of it. So God, we thank you that you're for us. And God, I pray that you will help us. Help us to submit our life to you. Help us to have the strength to resist the devil so that, God, we can know your blessing in and on our life. We ask this in Jesus' name. With every head bowed, I have to ask this question, whether you're watching online or you're here today. If you do not have a personal relationship with Jesus, this is the beginning part. It's whoever calls to him. You will never have the favor of God on your life unless you call on him. Unless you call him your Lord and your Savior, you will never experience the favor of God on your life. You'll miss it. God wants you to know today that he loves you so much that he sought a plan that you would be reminded today that there's a loving God who wants to display his favor in and on your life, and he has not forgotten you. He knows you by name. And if you're here today and you need to rededicate yourself to him, because you've bought into some of the things that the world has. And you need to rededicate your heart to him, whether it's for the first time or it's a rededication. If that's you, would you just look my direction? I want to pray with you. Is there anyone? Thank you. Is there anyone else? I want everyone to pray this prayer. Thank you. I want everyone to say this prayer with me. Dear Jesus, thank you for remembering me, knowing my situation, and knowing my name. Come into my life. Be my leader, my commander, my savior. I give my life to you. Create a new work in me. Cleanse me of my sins. I give it all to you. In Jesus' name, amen.